Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I tell you what's been bothering me the most today.
Okay.
I'm going to read you the headline. Exclusive. Gary Busey, 78, has been sitting in a public park in California with his pants down smoking a cigar the day after being charged with groping three women at a horror movie convention. Now,
well, I'm going to start hacking this
and it might blow up at me.
Okay. I saw those headlines and I did not go any further, so I'm glad you did. So go ahead, go for it.
First of all, if you are attending a horror movie convention.
What is this?
At a horror movie convention.
Now wait a second. It's H-O-R-R-O-R.
Not a horror movie convention. Because a horror movie convention.
They wouldn't complain, right?
I've never been to a horror movie convention. Okay. But for reasons I can't expand on, I've seen a lot of the other, okay? And they would know how to handle Gary Busey.
Probably, okay. Yes.
Okay. But my thing was, if they're there at this horror convention and they're wanting to be frightened or spooked and he is a guest, they've got special treatment, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, how more frightening can you get to be molested by Gary Busey at any point in the world?
If you talk about horror, I mean, not to minimize it at all, but I mean, Gary Busey is just scary, period. And I mean, welcome to the horror show. I mean, folks, why you would pay? Because that's what I'm reading. This is all about paying to go into this horror and then get to meet these people. Who wants to meet Buddy Holly? That's who he is. That's the best role he's ever had, isn't it?
Did he play Buddy Holly? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the Buddy Holly story. Yeah, he earned an Academy Award nomination.
Come on, Gary Busey got an Academy Award nomination?
Yeah, for playing Buddy Holly.
Well, how old was I? When was this?
1978.
That explains it all. In the summer of 78, I was riding a jackass in the Kentucky State Fair. So I would not have seen Buddy Holly. We were mourning the passing of Elvis Presley.
Yeah, exactly. Over the years, he's gained a reputation for erratic behavior that some have linked to a serious 1988 motorcycle accident in which he suffered severe head injuries. He was not wearing a helmet. Okay. All right. I'm not saying that.
You're reading the article.
I'm reading a article.
Because I can't do that. You know what I mean? When I see stuff like that, you know, first of all, what part of California is it? I have been in the last 5 years. What year is it? 2022.
Yeah.
In the last 4 years, I've been to California at the minimum of five times. So what I am going to say, I say with great love and respect.
Okay. All right.
If you go to California, California's like going to Afghanistan without the guns. Okay. And what I mean by that is it's not like a normal place. You should know that going there, right? So okay. If you're walking around any freaking park in California, sky's the limit, right? Nothing should scare you by now or surprise you. like probably where you're at in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If not just Gary Busey, but any kind of weirdo was sitting over there smoking a cigar, don't leave the cigar out, right? They would probably get onto you faster for smoking than exposing yourself in some of these places.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
But my point is, where I'm from, the man will pay you a visit rather quickly. So when it happens, it rarely happens because it's not a tolerated behavior. But when you go to California or stay in California very long at all, you've just got to realize anything can happen, right?
Yeah, there seems to be places out and just there.
These people should be glad it was Gary Busey, somebody famous, groping them as opposed to Joe Shit the Rag Man that nobody knows, right?
Don't know. I don't think it makes it any better. I got to be honest.
The other thing with Gary, I don't understand. Nobody can help the dude. He ain't got nobody, no old hanger-ons, no old groupies, no sisters, no kids. Nobody that can say, hey, Dad, sit in this padded room. We're here to help you.
I don't know, but so imagine being 78, though. And this is the whole David Allan Coe thing. David Allan Coe, he didn't want to be out still performing for, $10,000 a show, even though we're like, that's a lot of money. But he had to do it because he had to pay his bills. He'd rather be sitting at the slot machine or going to the buffet. Well, what's Gary Busey want to be at a horror movie convention at 78 years old? And I think,
paid him or invited him or somebody brought him?
Oh, yeah, that was part of the deal. He was the person one of the people that they paid to meet. So, like, you paid a VIP ticket to go meet. And I think it said in that article, his big claim to fame in horror movies was being in Stephen King's Silver Bullet.
What did he do in that movie?
I don't know what he did in that movie.
I don't even know what that movie was. I'm not a Stephen King guy.
Silver Bullet, the werewolf movie.
Well, why not?
It says several horror films, including the 85 adaptation of the Stephen King werewolf story, Silver Bullet. Although I don't know. He had roles in Gunsmoke and Beretta. And he was in Star. Whoa. His work in Star is Born. Won the attention of Dustin Hoffman.
What did he do in the Star is Born? The original Star is Born or the second one?
Probably the second one with like Barbara Streisand.
Yep.
He was in Predator 2, Point Break, Slapshot 2. So
maybe that's what he's auditioned for, Slapshot 3.
Slapshot. Oh, God. But the main thing is Gary Busey has, it's probably to the point where he just should not be around other people.
Well, I mean, do you think there should be like, I had a dark thought. The fans don't realize, okay?
About your
behind dark my thoughts. Jovial persona can be a dark person, right?
You
know what?
Huh? I think 120 episodes in, they know there's a little bit dark.
Let me tell you something. At 7:30 in the morning, I got 9.5 yards of concrete rolling out here to my house.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've been out there tying steel and getting this Superfund site going. And I am in a dark, dark place.
Over some concrete? I mean, come on.
And I almost said, is the future, you saw that movie, was it Justin Timberlake in Time where they got the little timer on their wrist? Okay.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
When I lived up in Minneapolis, there was these dog parks or bark parks, you know what I mean? You'd pay a little fee and you could walk around with your dog and they just let them run wild in there because their dogs are peeing and pooping and sniffing each other, whatever. So there's going to be a point in time when you get a certain age.
That's where we're going to go.
To the fart park where these old timers are just walking around just where nothing can hurt them really. Minimal supervision, right? We're going to take Dad over to the park today
To the fart park.
He just gets to walk around, and so he exposes himself. They don't know, you know.
Oh, that might be one of the greatest ideas ever. Like, they could sniff each other. Just like you said, drool all you want all over everything.
Yes.
And is there going to be somebody there to clean up after?
No. You keep it outside. Just let it go. And then you'd have to have some kind of referee walking around amongst them that if they really got weirdo, you know, you'd probably have to smack them or something. Like a buggy whip, an old-fashioned buggy whip. You could just crack them, quick, you know.
Or like a little no prod. Whatever. Huh? A little prod, like you would do with cattle. Zap them.
Well, that'd probably be better because it wouldn't leave a mark.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it might. Somebody that age, it might just stop their heart.
Fucking break a hip. It might kill them. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just know that it's a sad...
Hey, in the like instead of that bark park where you know whether they have like little baggies, like you get so you can pick up after your dog, like this would have.
No,
like
I think that defeats the purpose of bringing them over there. You just want to let them go.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it had like
let it rain. Oh, you're supposed to be kind and all that shit, but you know, come on, dude. That's only for people that what's it called? Not projecting. What were them people called whenever they? You got a higher vocabulary than me. You know, these people on Twitter or Instagram that post all this, excuse me, better than everybody. I'm better than
they're,
you because
they're condescending. They're condescending.
Well, I don't. Is that what it's called? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So these people say, "Oh well, I'm better than you because I pick up my dog poop."
I'm not sure.
My dog is ungovernable. You know, I let him poop on the ground because he's an outlaw. You know what I mean?
He's an outlaw dog.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I'm not picking up dog's crap.
That's what
not
I'm saying.
Hand.
Yes.
Not by hand. I mean, maybe a pooper scooper, but not by hand.
You know, there's so many things in this world that's wrong, right? I don't even want to start going on this because I'll alienate the few people that I like.
The few people.
You know. Yeah, so I'm pouring the approach to my driveway, my garage. Why the person built this beautiful all brick home that I live in and never finished the driveway is beyond me. Mm-hmm. But I get water that pools up at the end of my garage and sidewalk. The sidewalk has fell a little bit over time because of all the water. Well, they've hauled so much gravel over the years that it's crowned about 30 feet out from my garage is higher than up against my garage. So the water can't get away very well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to sit there and just scrape probably three tandem loads of dump truck tandem loads of gravel off of it to get it down to where I needed to get it, the slope way. You know what I mean? And it's just a load of work. I wanted to pour part of it on Friday, part of it tomorrow, but I slowed down to try to get it right, and now it's screwed me up. I'm not, I don't know if I'm going to have it all poured like I want by the end of the week.
Oh, boy.
I come home. I don't even know where I was at a while ago when you said you wanted to do it. I come home. There's company here. And I should be, and then immediately they ate, and when they left, it's, hey, let's go out and finish what we need to finish before 7:30 in the morning. Well, now I've got a jackhammer in my hand to tie, you know, hitting in the existing retaining wall and stuff to tie this new concrete in, and I just ate three coops worth of barbecue chicken and two briskets and all this stuff. You know what I mean? I'm miserable out there, sweating. You're texting me saying you ready to go do it. And I'm like, dude, I might not live. This might be the last thing I ever do is tie this last piece of steel in here.
Jeez.
Oh, you still there? I made wife and my kid mad because I said, hey, move my truck over there so you can take that tractor or move the truck. I tell him point three different places where I want him to move this, where I'm going to move his truck. And he's only 13. So there's a little, you know, insecurity in driving motor vehicles at that age. But so finally, the third time I told him, I said, don't worry about it. Give me the keys. And then I got in and drove myself. And then my wife went over and mad at me. You asked him to do it, and then you did. I said, sweetie, I've asked him three freaking times how to do it. You know what I mean? At a certain point, I got to just do it myself. It's done then. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, he's not going to learn how to do this. Well, you don't let him do it. Okay. Get on the tractor and come over here and scrape this, you know, do this and do that for me.
Mm-hmm. You got to whip him into shape, right?
I don't know. You know, this is the problem. He got to run the Bobcat the other day a bunch, and now that's all he wants to do. So I'm out there with a freaking shovel, and he's driving a Bobcat. He's 13 years old.
You should never let him do it.
No, I had
you'll never, just, never get him out of there. You'll never get him out of there.
Uh-huh.
He won't have a callus on his hand.
So
get that shovel back in it. He'll be soft driving that Bobcat.
Well.
So now, how could you get so down over just some concrete? I don't get it. I mean, it's just a challenge. I think it's just a challenge.
Let me tell you why. When I was young, when I was 19, okay, I could get up in the morning, I could pour that stuff as much as we wanted, right? I could run that shovel with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
I would take a shower about 3. I'd get home about 3:30 or go back to the hotel if we were working out of town. I'd take a shower. I'd take a nap. I'd get up at 5:30. And depending on what was going on, maybe I'd go into bed at 10:30. Maybe I went to bed at 2:30. But I could be back and do it again, right?
Yeah.
And do all kinds of unmentionable things in between. So I think the thing that gets me the most is it makes me realize how old I am.
Yeah, I know it's, you know, and I hate to complain because I mean, I don't feel like we're that old, but boy, oh boy, my body just is, it took me, this is what I had to do. So before, you know, we drove last week, I had to go to the neuromuscular massage lady.
Is that what you call her?
That's what I call her. I don't go over to Sean Watson. I don't go to the same place as Sean Watson. Because this massage, there's nothing.
Was it Gary Busey there?
No, Gary Busey is not in the corner with his pants down, smoking a cigarette. There's nothing fun, nor is there a happy ending, except for when it is really over, because this hurts. And I just knew from the last trip I made, I needed to, you know, get prepared. And I almost felt like, you know, those professional athletes have to, you know, have all the maintenance work done. So she worked on my shoulders.
What's that boy from the Cleveland Browns that does all that maintenance?
Probably Myles Garrett does
all one, the new quarterback that's suspended.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he does a lot of maintenance. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, so I had to get, you know, she worked on my shoulders and stuff to try to get them, you know, because they'll slip, like the ligaments will slip on my shoulders, and oh, it just hurts, like you can't even raise my shoulders. So I made an appointment for when I came back, and made a chiropractor appointment when I came back, just to get my back and shoulders and legs all in a reasonable position. From like a 9-hour drive, what 9 hours each way. I had to do some pregame stuff and some postgame stuff to recover. That's terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's like you saying you could go and pour the concrete and hardly get any sleep and do whatever and be back. I can't even climb back in my car after that without getting some work done. And it's like, when did this happen? You know, when did it happen that I couldn't drive for longer than 8 hours without feeling like I was rigor mortis had set in? I don't get it.
And you walk, how many miles a day you walk?
I walk about 3. So, I mean, I'm to the point where I walk you know, on my route and stuff. And we're doing stuff because, you know, you're moving boxes and climbing in and out and running from dogs and everything like that. And I'll still have to come home and walk another mile on the treadmill just to get loose and feel like I'm doing something. It's terrible. It's terrible. I don't know. I shouldn't complain. I should just be thankful that I can, you know, walk and then get on the treadmill and do it again. I don't know. See, you got me all depressed over the concrete. Now I'm no, feeling bad about myself.
Yes. Yes. So now you feel my pain.
I feel, I don't know. It's just the way it is. We're getting old and, you know, I was telling you, we got some really good, we've been getting some really
feedback.
Good feedback. There was a young lady from Canada that she sent me an email about, we were talking about flying. And you said, you know, how when you'd leave Minnesota, you'd fly up into Canada. And if you crashed, you just knew it was done. And she said that there's places in Canada that they would gladly take strapping men like me and you crash landing there. That they would be glad, they'd welcome us with open arms. It gets lonely up there.
Are they cannibals? I was going to say, because I don't think we just talked about how manual labor about kills us.
I know.
So I can't think, other than eating us, what they would do with us. You know what I mean? Because I'll be honest with you. At my point, I think I'd probably lay there and die. You ever see the old movie Mountain Men with Charlton Heston and what's his name in it?
Oh, I've not.
It's got Charlton Heston and anyway, it's about, they're mountain men. You know, they're trappers out there in the wilderness fighting Indians or whatever. So I'm sorry, I'm getting, not Mountain Men, Jeremiah Johnson. You ever see Robert Redford play Jeremiah Johnson?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I've never seen that.
Okay, so it's who wrote that? Look up who wrote it. I think it was Millenius or whatever, Milius or whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is there's a scene in there where Robert Redford is walking through the woods and he stumbles upon a frozen corpse with a note pinned to his front. You know, leaning up against, sitting up against a tree, dead. You know, froze.
Yeah.
So he pulls the note out and he starts reading it out loud for the camera. You know, you don't see what it says. It says, I, Cactus Jack or something, being of sound mind and two broke legs, leave everything in my, you know, my possession to whoever finds me, and including my 54 caliber Hawking rifle. They killed the bear that killed me. So I would be like Cactus Jack up there. The first time I had to go out and cut the second load of wood, I'd just say, you know what? I'll just lay here and freeze to death and put a little note, and anybody that finds it can have it. Okay, so unless they're...
Sidney Pollack was the director.
There you go. Who wrote it?
The writers were Vardis Fischer.
Okay.
He wrote the novel Mountain Man, and Raymond Thorpe wrote the screenplay.
Pollock. I knew it was somebody famous that wanted
Sidney
to make
Pollack.
It. And why he wanted to make it, I forgot. You know.
So you're Cactus Jack. Are you sure? I see the guy Will Greer played a Bear Claw. Are you sure it wasn't Bear Claw?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Now I could eat a Bear Claw, but I'm not sure I could play Bear Claw.
That's right. Sure. But yeah, so the Canadians would have to. I mean, unless they had a wigwam or something with a big propane tank and a lot of firewood or something already cut, I'd probably not do them any good. But I appreciate the thought.
I tell you what, it's getting an email like that was spectacular. I mean, she seemed like a super nice lady, and
well, and that's the, and that's because you're looking at, that's because you, your cup is half full.
Right? Okay.
So and all that did was make me feel old again, because there was a time when I could do that between pouring concrete, right? I could make a stop or two
in Canada
and make a house call and cut a load of wood or move a refrigerator or whatever they needed done and get up the next morning and go back to pouring concrete.
And then suddenly you became Cactus Jack.
And then suddenly I just, yeah, it just wasn't, it ain't, it had just got to where it ain't worth messing with. You know what I'm saying?
You were no longer Jeremiah Johnson. You were Cactus Jack along the road.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And just,
well, I just like the fact that, she felt compelled enough just to, I mean, she made my day as much as she, as we supposedly made hers. You know,
she made mine. I wish I had a good Canadian story to tell.
You don't have a good Canadian? How can you not?
Not
have a good
much.
Canadian?
Not. No, I don't know if I've ever. I seem like I've been to Winnipeg, but that's not really Canada.
How's that not really Canada?
Well, it's like northern North Dakota or northern Minnesota. It's not, you know what I mean? When I talk Canada, I'm thinking, you know, it's like Calgary, you know, Calgary, Alberta, Calgary, out the Stampede and stuff to me is an extension of Montana. You know, they're not real Canadians. I'm thinking, what's out east there? Not Toronto, but
Vancouver or no, Vancouver. Montreal.
Yeah, something out there. You know what I mean? I'm thinking.
Oh, Vancouver's out west, right?
No, Vancouver's out west. What's out east at?
Isn't it Montreal?
Montreal. Yeah, maybe it's Montreal. Where do they speak French at?
Montreal. Quebec. Or is Montreal in Quebec? I don't,
see, that's the problem with Americans right there. We don't respect the Canadian. You know, that's why Lauren Michaels and Mike Maron and them guys were able to come in and infiltrate the comedy scene and take it over, because we didn't respect them as an adversary.
Wait, who did you say?
You know, Lauren Michaels, the Saturday Night Live guy, or wasn't John
Martin
Candy a Canadian?
Martin Short.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We didn't realize. Yes, we as Americans did not realize that they were comedic counterparts or adversaries, and we've let them come in and overthrow the comedy scene here, which is why, you know.
Well, they did there for a long time. I mean, Eugene Levy. I mean, come on. There's some great comedic actors in that one stretch of man. I was probably in the 70s and 80s. I mean, those guys.
Yes,
were all
I could
over
be John, the modern John Candy, which dovetails on what I started to say about Gary Busey. You know, Gary Busey to me is on the same. If I had to put him on a hand, is on the same hand as
Steven Seagal?
Nope. That's a good one. I'm going to put him on the hand, too. So we're going to have a hand of five. Okay. Let's go. Gary Busey, Steven Seagal.
Okay.
Who is Heidi Fleiss's old boyfriend?
Oh, Charlie Sheen, right?
Nope. The other one. He supported Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan.
Tom Berenger?
No, but that's good. We're going to put him in there, too. No, okay. We're going to leave him off. He's too good an actor. Okay. You're going to make me Google
Rucker,
this one.
It's not Rucker Hauer. I'm right there. I'm close. Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore. That's right. Okay. Tom Sizemore just said, I could have made it if I'd went to Hollywood instead of screwing around the police department and the highway patrol and all those BS jobs I had.
Well, you're as good as those guys.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're
I could at least
easily,
show up sober. I mean, I read where they had a whole, they had a second guy for that was on the scene the whole time with Sizemore during Saving Private Ryan because he was coked up. They didn't know if he's going to OD or show up or what.
So who was going to
take? I don't know. They had some nobody replacement.
Oh God. Oh, oh my gosh. Yeah, I think maybe you're the guy that needs to replace Tom Sizemore.
And then I listened to Michael Mann's podcast interview with Mark Maron the other day, and he was talking about I can't even think of who I'm. It's terrible being old, isn't it?
Oh yeah, we've already established that.
It's trust one me. Thing.
And you know what? Our super fan Marion Westfall's out there somewhere going, these two, they're not old. They need to know.
She's high shaking. Mileage. You tell her we're high mileage.
Right. Oh, she knows.
You know what I mean? Marion there's knows. Difference. There's all kinds of people that got more that are older, but you got more time in a garage.
Bull.
I mean, we were out there at gravel road, and I mean, it, rough roads and everything got everything beat out of us, beat loose.
Well, Mary and her husband, Mike, they're down there in South Carolina playing pickleball.
And
I'm like, I don't even know if I could even open a jar of pickles anymore.
I don't even know. I canned a bunch of pickles a couple weeks ago, remember? Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina.
You know, because he went from being the cop to being the actor. Yeah. I could have done that. Nolte. I put Nick Nolte on that hand, too.
Oh, and Nick Nolte's.
In the old, yes. My favorite cop in any movie is Nick Nolte in 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could have been Nick Nolte. I could be Nick Nolte right there. If they reshot 48 Hours today, I could play Nick Nolte's part. He was at that time.
He looked rough. And uh-huh. I don't think he was acting. That's the thing.
Yeah, just mad, bitter. I don't do the cigarettes, but the cussing and just mad and make you know just.
Hey convict. Hey convict.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're not partners,
and we ain't brothers. We ain't partners. We ain't friends. If Gans gets away, you'll be sorry you ever met me. And he goes, I'm already sorry.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how sad is that we know that?
Well, I'll tell you what. My old man took me. He goes, you know, it's funny. Let's see, I'm gonna click on that. See when it was made. When did it come out?
Probably 84. I'm saying 84, 85.
It could be. Was in Tropic Thunder too, which is another great one. Right? Oh, that was another 48 Hours come out in 89. The original 40 is 82. My dad took me to go see that.
82?
I was 11 years old.
And you went to the theater to see that? Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, think about that. I was exposed to 48 Hours. I was exposed to Nick Nolte and
Eddie Murphy
when I was 11 years old.
Yeah. I think that pretty much
that sums up the 80s right there. That sums up the 80s.
Thank God Gary Busey wasn't the police sergeant in that.
Well, I don't, I ain't going to say what I was going to say. I was going to say something shitty, but I've decided not to.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-huh. Maybe these kids nowadays, if they watch something like that, part of them probably want to cancel it. You know what I mean? Because it was kind of, I don't want to say racist. I mean, it was where it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So maybe in the fourth or fifth grade, if kids got exposed to that, they could see the real world.
That needs to be the curriculum, is to watch 48 Hours.
I could get a Hollywood curriculum where these kids would watch about three movies a day, three movies a week. The rest of the time, they would be working on a car on a gravel driveway with no tools. And, you know, maybe, you know, cut the grass with a push mower or you know, ride around in a truck with no seatbelt or
smoke a cigarette. Make them smoke a cigarette.
I could think of a dozen. Walk through a cornfield at night for punishment.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
There
you go. You guys want your extra hour of TV? Here's 40 acres. It's a quarter mile square. You got the TV's on the other side of this cornfield. That's death of a thousand cuts. And guess what? At the other side, there's a swimming pool and a TV. And when they jump in that pool, it's a saltwater pool. They just don't know it. Okay. We're going to toughen these kids up. You know, I thought about, you know, I started to write this treatment one time about it. It took place in California in kind of an uppity, maybe, you know, like a Beverly Hills or Brentwood type thing where some kids got in trouble. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for them to get out, they had to be sentenced to, you know, like a community service deal. And the judge, well, you remember like My Cousin Vinny, remember that kind of that slapstick,
yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Crime courtroom type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where they got sentenced to 2 weeks at you know, Cougar's home for, you know, wayward kids. And what it was, they'd go out there and have to live in trailer park for about 2 weeks and survive. And that way they appreciated Brentwood when they got back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean.
But the problem is we've turned America into Hollywood now, so nobody can appreciate nothing.
Jeez.
You know?
Well, I'm with you. I think part of their curriculum should be maybe on Tuesdays they got to watch at least 2 episodes of All in the Family, followed by 2 episodes of The Judge.
Yeah, maybe 3. That's another role I think I could do right now.
Archie Bunker.
Yeah, I think I could be right now. Mm-hmm. I could do his. I used to call my oldest boy, the one that's in the military now, Meathead.
I was going to say, do I have to play Meathead or what?
And and I could do it, man. I could do it. I could do it this afternoon. The only thing is, I think, you know, Carol O'Connor was acting it. I think I feel it some days. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It'd be like, what's his name on Smokey and the Bandit?
Oh, Jackie Gleason.
Yeah, you know, a lot of his lines he just made up as he went. You know.
It's Smokey and the Bandit. He just
made yes, up. Yeah, he just made him up, and sometimes I think I could make some. Isn't that?
Listen, that's essentially what we're doing here. This is a once a week version of Smokey and the Bandit, and you're Jackie Gleason,
and you're the Bandit trying right, to get well, us. You're just trying to get us to the end of the podcast without me wrecking or what?
I think I'm probably more like Jerry Reed.
Yes, probably. You know, he made a few tours around Nashville.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, one of the greatest songs ever written. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's
believe me, I lived that one.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, it happens, I guess, sometimes. I don't know. I don't know. What else? Well, what other fan mail you got for me before I crash and burn here?
That's the only one that's the one that really sticks out to me. You know, I mean, anytime somebody is welcoming us to a foreign country,
car crash,
with one plane crash.
You know what made me think about what was that Leo DiCaprio movie, The Island?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So when I think something like that, or what else was? Yeah, there's probably some weird stuff going on. They probably got a big old wooden fort, or what was that? It wasn't who was the greatest race? Who was the who wrote? Was it Hemingway that wrote about the shipwreck guy that they were being hunted? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know that.
What? Oh, come on!
I don't. What?
Come on!
I wasn't a big. I'm not a big Hemingway reader.
I thought it was Greatest Race, but I'm gonna look it up here.
I don't know that one. Wasn't that a movie with like Ray Liotta and Ice-T back in
yes,
the
it might not have been him. It might where they are shipwrecked. Hold on. Shipwrecked. And
wasn't that Lord of the Flies or something?
It was Most Dangerous Game. The Most Dangerous Game was a short written by Richard Connell. Never heard of him. Post in Collier's 1924.
But that was a movie, right?
Yeah, well, they made it in, I think they made it into other things. Adaptation. Yeah. So, my gosh, it was adapted in 32, 45, 56, 61, 68, 72, 72, 82, 87, 87, 93, 94, 97, eliminated. Which one was you? The Hunt. Who's in yours?
I'm sure like Ice-T or Ray Liotta or somebody was in it. I'm looking. I can't get off Jeremiah Johnson here. My IMDb is stuck on this. So it's, gosh, what was that movie? It's one where there was a game, like, there was an island and they put them.
They were being hunted. Yeah.
Yeah. Ice-T.
I was going to say, didn't Schwarzenegger play in one of them?
He was in The Running Man.
Yes. See, that put him on my hand of five. That I could have done that, I think.
You could have done Schwarzenegger?
If I started younger, I'm too old now. But had I started younger, I could have done some of that stuff, maybe.
You could have been built, been built like that.
Trying to look at like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at.
I am built like Schwarzenegger.
What
are you talking about?
What Schwarzenegger is that?
Taller than him, but
is that Ernie Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I'm a little taller than him, but you know, hey.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, they have every Surviving the Game. Is that it? Right here. Guess who is in Surviving the Game? We're taking this full circle.
The governor of Minnesota.
Rutger Hauer, Ice-T, yeah. Charles Dutton, and one Mr. Gary Busey.
Oh, there you go. I mean, you closed it up. Does it get any better now? Did he keep his pants on and his cigar lit or not?
I think so, because I don't think Ice-T would have played that game.
You know?
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.